There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hello and welcome. Oh yeah, I see what you're doing here. Hello and welcome to another episode of Friends with Friends. Actually, Dave, so you know how we just talk to each other for a bit, but only the Patreon subscribers hear that bit?
Yeah.
I want to share the great fact that we learned.
Okay.
And that is about Diet Coke. And I'm not going to give any other context here. Diet Coke was invented in 1982. Right. My name's Pete Allison. This is Dave Crimp.
Ahoy, ahoy. I think you really misused the word great fact without the context there.
I liked it.
Why is that a great fact?
Because I didn't know how old Diet Coke was before 10 minutes ago. Five minutes ago, whatever.
The crucial context is that it's only 4 years older than me.
Yeah.
And we're trying to work out if I'm older than Diet Coke. And I'm not. And I'm pleased with that.
I'm going to cut in just briefly to say that alongside the request message, which you will read shortly from Garin.
Yep.
Important to note that Garin lives in Wales.
Sure.
And Garin added to his message, "I would love it if you did this request." Oh, well, we are doing the request, so great. That's not the end of the message.
Sold.
"I would love it if you did this request." We are. "If you introduce the episode in Welsh." Hello. No, it's okay.
Shemai.
"Hello and welcome to another episode of Friends with Friends." He says, would sound like this. And Garin, I hope you don't mind, but I am just going to press. I'm going to let you do it.
All right. Okay, great.
I'm going to let the Welsh person do it.
Yeah.
Because he sent a voice memo. Okay, hang on.
"Hello, a chroeso I cypennod arall o ffrindiau efo ffrindiau."
Like, I'll add the caveat of he claims that's him saying hello and welcome to another episode of Friends with Friends. I don't know any Welsh, therefore he could have just called us both wankers.
Well, I heard the word welcome, and I heard what I presume is the word friends twice. So I think I think it's solid.
Okay.
I think that's solid. I don't think he's done us dirty there, but Wales will tell us if not.
Hmm.
Great. Oh, that's good. Yeah, I'm glad you didn't try it, frankly, because I think you got a bit tongue-tied there.
It's also been a year since Garin requested this.
Are you suggesting they might have changed the Welsh?
No. I just mean that feels like, even by our standards, I swear that the wait is getting longer.
It must do, right? Because people would request in like batches. So if 20 people requested one a year ago, it's going to be like 2 years before some of them go, oh, that's mad, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, well, there you go. Okay, we're trying our best, guys. We can only deal with the amount of time we have in a year, which is the same as anyone.
That is true.
Here's the request. "Hello, Dave and Pete," in English. "Garin here, all the way from Wales." Absolutely. You say all the way, actually. Frankly, within the geography of our listenership, Pete, that's fairly close, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, very close.
But it's nice to have some Welsh representation. "Absolutely love your podcast. It's my favourite of all the ones I listen to." That's nice. This was written a year ago. He might have stopped listening by now. "You've definitely made my days of working from home far more enjoyable and kept me laughing through this sad and difficult time." Again, a year ago. Or, if you're a royalist, still counts.
Mm.
You know, please can I request season 7, episode 2, the one with Chandler's dad. Some really major things to talk about. Quite possibly the first transgender character in a major sitcom, although on reflection, their treatment of her is beyond terrible and in poor taste. On the flip side, however, Phoebe dating a man who's comfortable enough in his masculinity to wear women's underwear is a refreshing take on a show in which most of the lead male characters' masculinities are quite fragile. And a terrible Ross episode with his atrocious flirting when trying to get out of a speeding ticket. Would love to know your thoughts. Cheers. Garin. Yes, you have picked one to test my brain on a hungover Sunday, haven't you?
Yeah. Well, should we start with that?
Well, yeah, I think, I mean, it's the obvious elephant in the room, as it were, isn't it? And there's actually quite a lot of it's to sum up, it's a fucking confusing mess. And I don't think anybody even that worked on the show would be able to shed much light on it beyond, oh, we didn't do that very well. You know?
Yeah, I think it is worth saying this before we start talking about it. It's really difficult to navigate talking about Chandler's dad as a character and the treatment of them as a character, because it's really unclear what the intention was.
Yeah.
And therefore it becomes very clunky and very messy. Pronouns are all over the place, and I appreciate that these days, thankfully, we have a much better understanding of how to talk about trans people, how to talk about pronouns and things like that. Our understanding of that is better these days. So I understand it's very easy to criticize the sort of use of pronouns, for example, in an episode which is very much a product of its time. Mm. But it's even more difficult to talk about this episode because the character's just not done very well, and what they are trying to make Chandler's dad as a person, as a character, is really unclear. Therefore, it's quite difficult for us to know what the intention even was.
Yeah, and even calling the episode the one with Chandler's dad just makes it hard. You know, like, it's hard to even discuss the character,
yeah,
without referring to her by what is basically the name Chandler's, you know, that's the character name, Chandler's dad, regularly referred to it. So that's already confusing the gender issue before we even start, isn't it? And actually, it isn't even clear from the show itself whether the character is supposed to be transgender, because there's a whole confusion of, oh, he's a drag queen or she's, yeah, trans. You know, it's like, no one's even shaped the character to that level.
The thing that makes it really complex, or at least I found this complex, is that it's unclear whether Chandler's dad as a character is intended to be a trans woman, yep, or is intended to be a man in drag. Mm. Like, it's not clear at all, because I texted you this. There's a weird reference to how at the wedding, Chandler says, oh, my dad will be at the wedding in a backless dress, yeah, or something. Well, so is your dad at the wedding in drag, or is your dad going to the wedding, yeah, as a trans woman? Like, it's very unclear what they're trying to do all the way through this.
Yeah, and I was reading just a bit of background on it. Marta Kaufman has talked about it since, and has confirmed that she was a trans woman, but that was never actually explicitly referenced in the show. So I guess maybe that helps us slightly analyze what they were trying to do, because one of the creators actually said that is what was the intention of the character. But it doesn't help us actually watching it, because frankly, A, it's just a complete mess. And B, the one thing that slightly undermines the fact that it was a bit of a different time is that there are jokes in it. You know, Monica literally, yeah, does that. He, she, the, oh, I, yeah, don't know.
That's the issue. That's the really problematic thing about it, is that, okay, if perhaps, I don't think it's a leap to say that it feels like that's with hindsight that the writers are saying, oh no, was meant to be a trans person.
Mm.
But if that's the case, then I'm afraid that makes the he, she, oh, I don't know kind of jokes even worse.
Yes,
because
exactly.
if your intention is for it to be a character who's trans, then don't do the jokes about not being able to to tell what their gender is.
Yes, and the waiter, waitress, isn't it all a funny farce vibe within that scene makes that difficult. But Mark Kaufman has said, look, we absolutely fucked it up. We made a mistake. We didn't know how to deal with the pronouns. So I think...
And we've not even referenced the fact that if they were intending Chandler's dad to be a trans woman, why have they cast a cisgender woman?
Well, yes. I mean, yeah. I mean, that, I'd say even getting to that level in 2000 and whatever it was. I mean, they're so far for TV and casting and all that to travel before even, you know, we're not even there yet, are we, with people being always cast accurately and represented well. So
I think it's a confusing one to sell to us watching it as well. It's an odd one to have Chandler's dad being played by a woman. If the intention was for him to be a drag queen, then
I would say watching it without
put a
having,
drag queen in it.
Yeah, without having like read up on it and, you know, without the prism of 2022, watching it originally, I definitely assumed, I think, Chandler's dad was supposed to be a male drag queen. I think that's what I would have always taken from it on just first watch. And therefore, like you say, a confusing casting choice.
Yeah,
to cast a woman in that part, you know.
It's worth just saying as well. Like we've attempted to navigate this as well as we can, given it's a really difficult, unclear one, I'm very aware that we are two cisgender men talking about this. But best we can do, I'm afraid, in these circumstances, because it's just a really odd storyline.
It is an odd storyline. I don't think everybody accepts it's an odd storyline, don't they? And it just feels like the thing with Marta Kaufman coming out and saying she's definitely a trans woman, I think feels a bit, oh, Dumbledore's definitely gay, J.K. Rowling saying it like 10 years later and going, that explains some of the stuff that you're all getting het up about. Mm. Do you know what I mean? It feels like that's a response to criticism that they cast Kathleen Turner as a man in drag. And then she went, no, it's a trans woman. And it just feels like they're scrambling around a little bit, trying to work it all out. But there's some odd other bits as well. Like the Mr. Garibaldi thing is very strange, right?
Yeah. Why is he suddenly playing the piano?
I mean, why is he suddenly playing the piano? I mean, yeah. He plays it very well, to be fair. He keeps a good underscore in that show. But the bit that really stands out to me is when Chandler reveals to Monica, he goes, he had sex with Mr. Garibaldi. And Monica goes, who's that? And Chandler goes, does it matter? Yes, it matters. Otherwise, that's just either pure homophobia or transphobia, depending on what that character is supposed to be. But of course it fucking matters. Otherwise, you're just going, ugh, my dad had sex with a man. Ugh. It's such a strange line.
I can understand that what he's trying to articulate is how difficult, and I think his sort of wording is embarrassing, it was for him growing up to have, like, somebody who wasn't a sort of heteronormative dad.
Mm.
But his shame is quite uncomfortable too, because he sort of, you could understand if he was saying, oh, I used to find it really difficult, but he kind of still has this shame now, and that's quite uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah, it's quite interesting watching it within the prism of us watching it now to feel like, for example, performing in a drag show in Vegas is something to be incredibly embarrassed about, you know, which is how he sees his dad. And he gets to the bar and goes, oh, I just ordered a beer. I'm a man, you know, and he still carries all of that. And again, that is potentially a product of the time. But the one thing I really do like about the way that they treat that is Phoebe's line of, I think I need to switch circles when discussing it, because at least there is somebody going, that's cool. And Monica trying to talk Chandler around, going, yeah, your dad did turn up to your swim meet, but he was there and it was fun, you know. And actually, these days, you'd be like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody would be particularly embarrassed by that in the same way. But yeah, you're right. As a grown-up, he doesn't seem to have got over any of that at all, does he? What I would say, I mean, because we'll get onto the funny bits, shall we, shortly in a minute?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a very slightly different podcast, but I hope you can appreciate the reason that it has to be slightly.
No, you have to do this when there are these sort of storylines that are different. We've had a few of them, haven't we, along the way?
What I would say, putting the whole... what's the character supposed to be? What the pronoun supposed to be? What the fuck is going on there? Putting that issue all to one side, the actual interaction between her and Chandler is actually very moving.
Yeah.
Once this storyline is really nice in a weird, messy way. Do you know what I mean? And the moment she turns around and sees him, I mean, basically Kathleen Turner's amazing. And I really love that whole interaction from a point of view of a viewer that knows the story. What I would say is from the point of view of a punter in the drug bar, fuck me, they'd be just going, what the fuck's going on here, lads?
Yeah.
Like yeah. The music, Mr. Garibaldi just stops playing. And without knowing the context of the fact they're related, this is a dry segment of a otherwise very camp and energetic show.
Yeah, all right. I just came here to watch some It's Raining Men drag performances, not sort of witness a
exactly.
family drama.
But they don't even know it's a family drama. What I mean is, if you were sat behind, you'd just be going, why is Helena Handbasket just going, oh, well, I'm very happy for you to be married.
Yeah.
You know, like it's like she loses all of her sparkle, like wit and comebacks and stuff, and just has a very boring interaction.
But then snaps back into it with, so you're bald.
That's one of my favorite lines of the whole thing. So you're bald is one of my favorite lines of the whole episode. That makes me howl with laughter. And that's before we get to the decision of Monica and Chandler to confront Helena Handbasket at her show.
Great drag name, by the way.
Great drag name. But why would you do this at the show?
Yeah.
Like if you were going to go and at least surprise her, maybe just find her where she lives. Don't do it in the middle of a show when she's performing to paying punters. Mm. Mad.
I also love the audience participation bit in the singing along to I Feel Pretty and Witty and holding the microphone out for gay, which is great too.
Yeah, I always sing that when, as you know, I play the piano at a musical theatre sing-along bar, so that song comes up fairly regularly. But that's not actually the original lyrics to I Feel Pretty. It's just the version in the first movie. So most people sing the original lyrics, which is Pretty and Witty and Bright.
Right.
But it's always my instinct, as it is with a lot of friends. Here's another me being at the musical theatre bar. Every time anyone plays Tomorrow from Annie, I do it in, you know, there'll be sun in the Chandler way. And nobody does it. Nobody gets it. And I look weird. But there you go. Friends influences us too much sometimes, doesn't it, Peter?
Also, I want to point out that in one scene, Chandler is in his apartment with sunglasses on his head and has not entered or left the building in the time that the scene was happening.
Is that at the start of the episode, is it?
It's still about halfway through, I think.
Oh, wow. I didn't even notice that. That's bizarre, isn't it? So yeah, look, we get to a stage where they have reconciled and we get the big It's Raining Men finale, and that's sort of it until the wedding then, isn't it? But yeah, it's a strange plot line. It doesn't lend itself particularly to a podcast where we're picking out these silly little jokes and inconsequential details of an episode. But hey,
can't be lols all the time, Dave.
Can't be lols. It's very much like life, isn't it, Peter? Sometimes life is serious.
Yeah, exactly.
On that note, here's an ad break.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hope you found those ads suitably serious. Phoebe and Jake. Oh, it's fun, isn't it, that they managed to pack a incredibly confusing story about a trans woman in, but also how unnerved Joey is about a man wearing women's underwear into one episode.
Also, who the fuck is Jake? Like, they've apparently been dating for a month, and has he been in another episode?
No, and Joey doesn't even know his name. I mean, that is a very funny, that's a very funny line of like, oh, you've been dating for a month, so we should get to know each other a bit better. But, like, so, what's your name?
If they've been together a month, why have we never seen him before?
It's implausible that even if we hadn't seen him, that a group of people that only spends time with each other would not either know his name or have met him multiple times. They spend every single day together. So for 30 days, unless Jake's been away on holiday or whether he's doing something else or he works nights or something, it's mad that he's come into that world and not been part of it at all until Joey asks him. But it's quite a nice little interaction they have, isn't it? I quite like that just dynamic of Joey trying to make friends with Phoebe's new boyfriend.
Joey being nice, Joey being nice
taking him to... I mean, is it weird or is it not weird? I can't work it out. Like, the first time you meet your friends, sort of someone they're seeing, to basically be like, do you want to come out to the sports game with me?
It shows an intention to really try to get to know the person that his friend is dating, which I therefore don't think is weird. I think it's
No, I don't think it is. I'm just trying to think, if you met a friend's partner for the first time, would you be like, hey, what are you doing on Tuesday? Do you want to go out? Just me and you?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think I'd spend more time with them as a couple first.
Although one thing I don't want to let Joey off for is when he's in his apartment and sees his opportunity to try some underwear on.
Yes.
Is that Rachel's?
Yes.
Scene? Mad. Right, that's
insane.
Not fine, is it?
Insane. You what's can't, happened
don't,
there?
Don't take your flatmate's underwear to try on. If you're that keen to try on some women's underwear, like buy some women's underwear.
Buy some. Go to the shop. Why?
Don't try your flatmate's on.
Why has he walked? I mean, and why does no one question that at any point? He walks in and just shows Phoebe and she's like, oh, funny, you're wearing women's underwear. Not, where the fuck did you get them from? You fucking creep.
Also, you know when Phoebe says that she's tried on a man's underwear?
Yeah.
Tried on, what's his name? Jake.
Jake.
What little flap is she referring to?
The little penis flap.
Yeah, but she says that she can carry her lipstick in it.
Yeah, it seems to intimate that it's more of a pouch than a access window.
Yeah, it's not a pocket.
No, it isn't a pocket. You're right. I wonder.
And how do you store in the thing that, as you beautifully put it, penis window?
Yeah.
You can't keep lipstick in a penis window, which is a great sentence. Like, it would just fall out.
I told you we'd get back to normal business soon.
Like,
discussing the incredibly complex issues of transgender portrayal in sitcoms to the sentence, you can't put lipstick in a penis window.
But, like, my point is, like, the penis doesn't fall out of the penis window because the penis is very much attached to the human body.
Yes.
Lipstick is not attached to the human body. Therefore, lipstick would fall out of penis window.
I'm trying to think if there's maybe a design of a boxer that's got more of a sort of pouch-based arrangement. I don't know, but it doesn't feel like you could.
There are some... there's a brand of... men's underwear, which I believe is aimed almost exclusively at homosexuals.
Oh, is it?
That can offer some sort of pouch that sort of pulls the junk forward in order to make it appear larger.
Oh, okay. What's it called?
Well, you're going to get some.
I mean, I'm interested.
I think Aussie bums have that.
Aussie bums?
Aussie bums. Don't intonation's wrong there, Dave. You don't go up for the
Aussie
you don't
bums.
Go up, you don't go up for the bum.
Aussie bums.
Aussie bums. Yeah.
Okay. What was your point?
Don't know. Basically, that pouch, I imagine, would be better to store lipstick in.
Right. So it's a sort of directional
feature
of the okay, fine. I've never been advertised this on my targeted adverts, Peter, which, like you say, if it's almost exclusively advertised at gay men.
It's got very penis-y, hasn't it?
So Joey takes Rachel's underwear implausibly and against all social convention. And Really? There's only sort of two more scenes, aren't there, where he's just wears the underwear, gets really into the underwear, realizes he's too into the underwear, and decides to take the underwear off. And that's kind of it.
But the bit where he accidentally pulls the underwear out of his pocket in front of a woman he's trying to flirt with, I really like his, these are for you.
The attempt at pulling the situation back and getting out of it is very funny. That also follows the worst chat-up line in the world. Do I recognise you? No, maybe it's because I'm on TV.
Yeah, that is good.
And the fact that that works and she goes, oh, really? And is impressed, not what is the worst thing that anyone's ever said to me whilst trying to chat me up, is impressive. But I guess the lesson to learn here, Pete, is that you shouldn't carry your roommate's underwear around in your pocket.
Well, I think that's a pretty good lesson. Yeah. But I also, there's another bit. Sorry to make this about genitals again.
Yeah. You're not sorry.
No, I'm not. Joey at one point says that wearing the women's underwear, he was pleasantly surprised by how his genitals weren't smashed down as much as he anticipated.
Yeah.
Which is quite a sort of violent, smashed is quite sort of, you don't want your genitals smashed, do you?
I certainly don't.
Well, some people probably do.
I don't know. Oh, let's not get into that. I don't really understand what he was worried about there, though. It's not like women's underwear is made of sort of steel, you know?
Lead,
like some sort of really unforgiving material. It's still made of the same sort of material and therefore has flexibility, you know?
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, like the only question that remains to ask Pete before we move on is, have you ever worn women's underwear?
I don't think I have.
Mm. I should try it. Maybe you'd enjoy it.
Have you worn them?
Yeah, I've tried it on, but I haven't like worn it out, I don't think, from memory.
Pardon? I worn it out the house?
Yes, yes. Yeah,
like,
yeah,
the underwear, like it's perished.
No.
I've worn them so much, the gusset's just gone.
But I would like to make very clear that it was the underwear of my partner at the time, and she was aware of it, not the underwear of a female roommate that I just found.
An oblivious
in the washing
roommate.
Basket.
Yeah, yeah. Good.
I have never done that, for the record. So amidst all the other madness of this episode, I really like the Ross and Rachel dynamic of here. This is like Ross and Rachel just being silly together, and it's not about them, and it's not about them falling out or being in love or breaking up. It's just them sort of, Rachel's being very silly, which I love, and Ross is being very neurotic, which is perfect, you know?
Yeah, and there's a bit of squabbling, but on the whole, it's like, normally it's quite a sort of miserable watch, isn't it,
right,
when those two are together, but this isn't, even though Ross is like getting really wound up.
It's the sort of squabbling that Ross would do with Phoebe or Monica or Chandler, yeah, would, you know, like any of the characters could have this sort of squabble, and yeah, it's a different dynamic, and like you say, miserable is the right word quite often when they're arguing. I really love the trope of Ross being an incredibly conservative driver. It's so perfect for Ross, that, isn't it?
And getting a ticket for being
driving
incredibly slow.
37!
Yeah.
37. Gotta tell you what, driving in America though, having recently done it again for the first time in a while, it is slow. It is fucking slow.
Well, especially around New York.
Well, just on like highways, like 55 miles an hour, most of them. That is slow, isn't it? There's a few that are more, but their average speed limit is pretty ruddy slow.
Do you notice what Joey says to refer to the car?
Go on, remind me.
Porsche.
A Porsche, yeah. Yeah. We don't want to get back into the how to pronounce Porsche, do we, or Porsche?
No, but I just wish to make the point that Joey is a dirty hypocrite.
He is a dirty hypocrite, yes. And Rachel calls it a Porsche. Like, it's, yeah, they're all Porsche, aren't they, in this? After all the previous Porsche nonsense. You sort of forget that Monica just has a Porsche.
Yeah, and seemingly just parks it in central Manhattan every now and again.
I'd have thought you'd have kept that in some sort of more secure facility, right?
Yeah, it's just on the street, isn't it?
Yeah, considering they never drive.
With the roof down.
Yeah, yeah. She's got a very laissez-faire attitude to that Porsche, hasn't she?
She has.
I love Rachel's nonchalance about not having a license, taking hands off the wheel, and like all of Ross's anxiety and neuroticism around that is just, it's just really funny. I just really like that dynamic. My favorite other line of this episode is where Rachel's flirting with the officer and Ross just goes, "Dear Lord," the way he delivers that is so funny and perfect, because her flirting is awful. It's cringy, isn't it?
Yeah, and later when Ross attempts the same thing, "I love Rachel's, you have a son." I know.
There's just so many really enjoyable bits. Like Rachel trying to guess the star sign of the police officer, and it takes four attempts, and she goes, "I knew it." I just think it's a lovely little plot. It's silly. It sort of distracts from the rest of what's going on in the sort of more emotional / confusing elements of this episode. But yeah, thumbs up to the Porsche Ross driving too slowly. I mean, 37 on a motorway, Pete, is so
dangerous.
Dangerous. It's like, well, as the officer pointed out correctly, but it must feel like you're crawling on a road that big. Also, where are they driving to?
Yeah, just gone out for a drive across a very busy bridge, haven't they?
Yeah. I'm fine. Each to their own. I've just dropped a little thing there. That's the thing that I sort of fidget spin with when I'm recording the podcast. Good story, Dave.
Are we ending it with that?
No, Flair Sting. We can't end it with that.
Fine.
But we can't end it with a quiz either, can we?
No, not got quiz. No. Who's in charge of quiz organisation, Dave?
I just guess we'll never know. Nobody can be sure.
Although I'm not in a position to criticise after...
Actually, yeah, Pete, what I do have is a quiz for the one with Joey's fridge.
Right. Where was that when we needed it a month ago? Or whenever it was.
I love how many people immediately pointed out that mistake. That was genuinely impressive.
Well... Do you want to hear what next week's is? And I'm pretty sure this is right.
Yeah, but I'm going to just put a caveat out here and let us know if it's wrong again. Is this definitely one we've not done before?
According to my notes, yeah.
Yeah, well, how accurate are they, eh?
True. Next week, the one with the Halloween party, which is season 8, episode 6.
Is that the Sean Penn one?
I think so.
And the Sputnik and all of that shit.
Yeah.
Great. The arm wrestle. Lovely. The one with the Halloween party. That is 95% locked in as next week's episode, unless you get in touch with us to tell us that we've already done it and that we do not remember. I like the fact that we hadn't done it like 3 years ago as well, the Joey's Fridge one.
It was March. Yeah.
It was earlier this year.
I think that if I'd started watching the episode, I would have realised, hang on, we've already done that.
See, I don't think I would. I'd have just watched it and made notes. It would be interesting. It'd be an interesting experiment one day to do one that we've already done and see if we say the same things.
Yeah.
But without listening to the old one first, you know? And I say interesting, Pete. I mean, a waste of everybody's time.
Yeah. Well, you could argue the last half an hour has been a waste of everybody's time.
Well, you could. And I will. And on that note, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.